Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as I was talking with the children, persistence is a good trait to build in yourself. Persistence is important as you're learning the valuable lessons in life along the way. As children, often it's when they learn how to, that first standing up and taking those first steps. Think about how many times does a child fall before they finally figure out how to take steps. And even once they figured it out, they still keep falling as they try to get better and better at that skill. I also think probably that one of the hardest things to teach kids is how to teach them how to tie their shoes. And in our house, it was especially that way because we had one lefty. And to teach a lefty how to tie your shoes is even harder when you don't know how to tie your shoes left-handed. So it was one of the hardest things for us to do. We had to be persistent in the teaching as much as he had to be persistent in the learning. But even if you're long past those days, there's still lots of things in life that we need to be persistent about. If you've ever had a joint replaced, you know that you have to be persistent in the physical therapy if you want to get that motion back and be able to do the things you had done before. So that a gift and ability to be persistent is important throughout our lives, not just at any one specific point. But as I said, there's these two stories today that talk a bit about the persistence in relationship to God. And first we hear about Jacob, who, if you kind of remember Jacob's whole story, is Jacob's always about himself. He's always trying to get himself ahead in the story. He's always trying to do things that better his position in the world. So he finds himself after he sent his family and everyone ahead, and I could go on and on about how that was part of him being selfish again, but I'm not going to go there right now, but that instead he finds himself wrestling with this unnamed man. And as the night goes on and as this wrestling match continues, the one that Jacob has a hold of realizes he's not going to win. And so he smacks Jacob on the hip socket, putting his hip out of joint. And so we hear is that as daylight's breaking, Jacob's not willing to let go of this one, and he wants for himself a blessing. So he holds on until he's finally given the blessing that he wants. But what we see about his wrestling with God is that he does not walk away from this moment unscathed. Instead, he walks away with a limp because his hip has been put out of place. Now, Jacob comes at it from a place of power. Jacob's the one who's got most of the power in the story. But then we hear this other story in the gospel about a widow who comes to an unjust judge who doesn't care about justice or people. But she comes with the same kind of persistence. And her persistence, she sticks with it even though she has no power in her society. Often a widowed woman was one of the lowest people in society because they didn't have the way to care for themselves, relied on the justice of others. And so she relied on that care from others. And so she kept coming back and forth to this unjust judge. And I think what's funny is this is another one of those times where the Greek kind of softens what says happens, because the Greek says something more to the fact that instead of like that he's getting beat up or not wear me out by continually coming to me, the Greek says more like that she doesn't give him a black eye because she keeps coming to him. Now, we don't quite know if that's a physical black eye or if that's a black eye in the sense of just looking bad in front of others. We don't know quite what that means, but I think what imagery is that, that this woman's going to come to him over and over again and give him a black eye. And I think what's so important about these two stories, and I think what's important for us in our lives as well, is, especially with Luke's story, is to kind of think about the context this falls into. And ever since chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, when Jesus sets his eyes on Jerusalem, everything gets a little bit more intense. All of the motions that are made, things have to happen a little bit faster. Things have to happen with more urgency. Things have to kind of take their place. And so, but there seems to be this kind of transition when we get here into verse 18. And Luke recognizes something in his crowd, in his congregation, in the people that he's sharing the story with that's important. He realizes that they were expecting Jesus to come soon. And as the days go by and it gets farther away that Jesus hasn't come, instead of being persistent in their faith, in their conversation with God, people are becoming complacent. Now, this is Luke, not so many years after Jesus has left. Can you just imagine what Luke might write to us if Luke were to share that same story with us? Almost 2,000 years later, how have we become complacent in our relationship with God? How have we become complacent and not as persistent as what God would call us to be? That story might sound a little different. And I think it's this complacency that leads Luke to the final question of this story that we read today. He says, "And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And I don't know about you, but that should just kind of strike you in the heart. When Christ returns, will he find faith on earth? Because we, I think, all would like to say that we're trying to carry on the faith that has been given to us. But I think he means something more than just kind of some general words. I think what he means is, will we still have that persistence in our faith that we're called to have? Will we still have that persistence in our pursuit of God that we've seen in Jacob, that we've seen in the widow, that we need to carry through in our own lives? And I think what's important to recognize is this. When you're teaching your child how to tie your shoes, or tie their shoes, not tie your shoes. You might have to do that later in life, but earlier in life, when you're teaching your children how to tie their shoes, who in the end has to tie their shoes? They do, right? You can teach, you can show many different ways, you can do all the things that you can do, but in the end, they've got to do it. And it's the same that when you've had a joint replaced, the physical therapist can put you through all kinds of exercise, can have you do all kinds of different things, can yell at you if that's what you need, but in the end, who has to do the work? You do, okay? So there's something about our lively persistence that falls back on us. Now here's where the big change happens. And the big change is that in our relationship with God, in our persistence in our faith life, that doesn't come from us, but that comes from God. Because it is God through the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to believe, that gives us the power to follow Him, that gives us the power to believe and share and be persistent in our relationship with God, to be persistent in the things that we are doing. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to recognize in our own complacency, in our own time and place, how to recognize where is it that we find this belief, this strength, this power of God speaking to us. And I think we have a great psalm that got matched with these readings this day, because the psalm tells us what God has done for us, what God is doing for us. We hear that the Lord will not let your foot be moved. The one who watches over you will not fall asleep, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from all evil and keep your life. The Lord will watch your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. I think these words of what God is doing for God's people, these words about what God is doing for us, are meant to strengthen us in our understanding of our faith, are helping to strengthen us to understand when we're asking for God's help, we know what God's capable of. When we're trying to be persistent in the things that we need, we recognize how faithful God is in the things that God provides for us. And so these two things kind of come together in a way that help us to see the one in whom our faith resides. That our persistence is found in that relationship with God. That our persistence is found in the faithfulness of God. That our persistence is found in the fact that God promises to provide those things that we need. And probably the other side of that is, thanks be to God, it's not up to me. Thanks be to God, it's not up to us on our own to find this faith. It's not up to us on our own to start this momentum moving forward. But we have a God who promises to meet us, a God who promises to hold us, a God who promises to push us forward when we feel like we'd rather stop. And I think the other promise that comes from this, or the other warning that comes from this, is that what happens to Jacob in the end? When we've held on, when we find ourselves wrestling with God, we may walk away, we will walk away changed. We may not have a limp, but we may have something else that God has had to break in our own lives so that we can move forward. And I think often the thing that God is working on always is our self-reliance, our want to believe that we can do things on our own. But that God's always chipping away at that self-reliance so we recognize how much it is that we need God in our lives, how much we need the one who watches over us, how much we need the one who watches our going out and our coming in from this time forth forevermore. Amen.